You're listening to BQN. Assimilate the audio.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of All Good Things, the Star Trek Universe podcast here on BQN. I'm your host, Mark White, and with me today is Christos and Amy. Yay, we're all back together again.
We are! Hoot, hoot, hoot.
Woohoo!
Hi, everybody.
I feel like it's been so long.
It's been at least, what, 4 days?
Three, four.
Yeah. So our listeners had a little bit of a breather last week. We didn't drop a new episode. Well, this week, technically, but... yeah, it's been the first break we've had since last fall, so yeah, it's a little soft reboot, and we've got some new artwork that we're putting up there too, so yeah, it's like a brand new season of your favorite show. We're back after 1 week of being gone.
A 1 week hiatus and it's a new season. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I wish Star Trek would do that.
I saw your BQN post today. I was like, really? We take one week off and it's a new season. Okay, Mark.
Yeah, it was a good way to advertise. Well, we also have some other guests joining us this week. We have Paul and Jeremiah, who are also at the con. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
So, listeners, we are going to be discussing all things STLV 2022 this week. But before we launch into that, I'm going to launch into All Good World.
From Las Vegas to Boston, USA to Canada and South America, from the United Kingdom to South Africa, from Russia to Australia, the South Pacific and beyond, this is All Good World.
Each episode, we highlight a different location around the globe where this podcast has reached. Today's episode, we'd like to give a special shout-out to Chile. Fun fact, born in Chile was Chris Rios. He was a human who lived during the 24th and early 25th and mid-21st centuries. That guy jumped around. His mother taught at Starfleet Academy. When he was about 8 years old, Rios sneaked into a flight simulator. There he scored higher than any cadet in history. And if you'll remember, Cristobal Chris Rios from Star Trek Picard.
So I'm going to type it Cristobal.
Cristobal.
That was my name in Spanish class for 4 years. So Cristobal.
Oh, nice.
Or Cristobals, as I was always teased.
I have been to Chile. So that's a great around the world highlight.
Yeah. What'd you think of Chile?
I loved it. Oh my gosh. Everyone was so wonderful. They have excellent wines, and it's a country where you can, because it's that really skinny, long
yes, and narrow.
And can go like half hour to the beach and half hour to the mountains. Like, it was just gorgeous. I loved it.
So what you're saying is Chile is versatile.
Yes.
So the mountains are so high there because it actually lies along a subduction zone.
Okay.
The tectonic. Yeah.
Did you say subduction zone?
That's what college taught me.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Plate tectonics, Mark. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Okay.
So the wine there is a very special wine. Here's our little drinking moment. Carmenere is a wine variety that's specific to Chile. So it's a very good, I'd put it in between like a Pinot Noir and a Zinfandel. So if you ever have a chance, try a Carmenere. I highly recommend it.
What would you drink it with? What would you, the pairing?
Oh, it's very versatile. Anything really, because it's not like the deep complex like a Merlot. It's a lighter one. So
it's a good thing this isn't on video. Oh, we're all adults here. We promise. Well, as I said at the beginning, we are going to be talking all things STLV 2022. And I thought, what a great way to kick off this conversation. Let's go around the room here and just talk about, you know, what was our first convention experience. So, I don't know.
Are you going to qualify this? Is it our first STLV experience or our first convention?
We'll say convention.
And listeners, we all understand that it's no longer called STLV, but we lovingly call it. We know it's a 56-year mission. We get it. It's not the official convention, but we lovingly call it STLV still.
So save your comments.
Yes.
For something else that we'll say that'll be controversial.
Did you guys actually see, though, that Creation is still using STLV on all of their banners mm-hmm. at the convention?
And it's the hashtag.
Yeah.
Social media. So it's still STLV. Yeah.
It's still STLV.
Yeah. So, Christos, do you want to start us off?
So, oh, my first con. That would have to be Cleveland, Ohio, somewhere around 1992 or 1993. And it was back when Creation was just bopping around for these week-long weekends, and the guest of honor was Leonard Nimoy.
Wow.
And he, yeah, I think it was right after, it might have been 92, I think it was right after Undiscovered Country came out. I was just a little kid, I think maybe 14, maybe 15, but big nerd. It was my first con. I was very excited. It was my first time seeing a vendor's room. That got me really excited. But there was a ton of people there. That's what I remember. And they were so excited. And Leonard Nimoy showed this documentary he was working on. And at 14, I thought it was ridiculous. But the room was just going batshit crazy because it was Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And anything he did was going to be amazing. And but as a, you know, I can look back on it now. I know what that was, I think. But yeah, but that was my 14, 15-year-old head in the moment. So there you go.
Amy, what about you?
My first convention was STLV, and that would have been 2013, and I just came on a Saturday because I was just sort of new and I didn't want anyone to see me. I was just checking things out. I went for one day and was like, oh, this is really fun. So then I went back in 14 and I did the whole weekend. But again, didn't talk to anyone. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. It wasn't really until the 50th when I was like, okay, I'm ready to join the community. This is too much fun. And I have been all in since the 50th. So. But I was a slow. I like tipped my toe in and then I just waded into the community.
Jeremiah?
I don't remember the year. It wasn't that long ago. It was when the TNG gang was doing their rounds for their... so it would have been their 25th, because I didn't know about it till the day before here in Kansas City, and paid an ungodly amount of money for their reunion panel. Didn't even really know what a convention was. And William Shatner was my very first Trek personality I ever met.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
And... believe it or not, people can say what they want to say about the Shatner, but I found him to be a delight.
Yeah. Well, Amy and I, you can hear on last year's podcast when we were talking about it, we were shocked at just how just fun and bubbly he was and energetic and, you know, talking to the whole crowd and remembering people's names. Like, you know, he really impressed both of us last year. We didn't know what we were getting into with him, but we were definitely impressed. Paul?
Well, I can't exactly remember when my first one was. I went to a lot of them in a really close time frame. In 2018, I went to the Cincinnati Comic Con met Jonathan Frakes and Summer Glau, who is I'm a big fan of the old Terminator. Yeah, yeah, Firefly and Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles series. And I've been to others throughout the years, Galaxy Cons and want them in Louisville and Lexington. Comic-Con's in Louisville and Lexington, Kentucky. So around my area, Cincinnati, Kentucky area. I've been doing a bunch, and actually, I've gotten all of the Next Generation bridge crew, except for Patrick Stewart. Just going through those different Comic Cons, I've gotten their signatures and I've met them. So,
yeah, that's cool. So, my first convention experience was the late '90s. I'm not sure what year. Is it '97, '98? And it was Southern Maine, Portland area. And the headliner was Robert Picardo. And I was a little kid, and my mom dropped me off and was like, go have fun. And I ran in for the day at the convention and got my picture taken with Klingons and whatnot. But I really wanted to meet Robert Picardo and get his autograph and get my picture taken with him, all that stuff. But, you know, I was a kid with allowance money. I, you know, couldn't afford to do any of the meetups or anything. But I saw him like on stage, which was cool, but I always wanted to get his autograph and get a picture taken with him, and I finally got to this year. So it's been a number of years, but I finally got my picture with Robert Picardo, and I finally got his autograph and got to talk to him, and it was wonderful. It was a delight.
Very cool.
Awesome.
So everybody here has been to conventions before. How do you guys feel like this year's STLV compared to previous STLVs or previous cons you've been to?
Meh. Okay, so you have two categories you can go here. Like, there's the how did the con do and how was it hanging with all of my Star Trek family?
Okay.
Because the Star Trek family stuff is always 10, 12, you know, it's up there. I'm going to have a good time anytime any version of our team gets together. I think what's really hard for me a lot of times with these cons is we have a lot of overseas friends, and like I've got a couple I haven't seen since 2019, some that we saw just on the cruise earlier this year. That would be you, Kelvin, and James. I know you're listening. But I haven't seen Ewan and Joe since 2019, which is like, wow, 3 years. That's in person, that is. So, I think the problem with that is the family gets bigger every year. And so, but you always do notice when somebody's missing. So that's the Star Trek family aspect of it. The con being at Bali's, it was too small. The AC was awful. It was too crowded. Apparently, everyone's got COVID. It was on the first floor and the 26th floor. There was no food. That's me being like, so I'm going to give Creation a big thumbs down for that, but the Star Trek fans, a big thumbs up.
Hey, isn't that from a different podcast? The ups and downs.
Well, we did meet Sean Farrick, so there you go, new friends.
Yeah, I definitely echo what Crystal says about missing those who weren't there. And as far as the convention goes, it was very different for me because I didn't really do the Trek things of the convention, which I usually do. My focus this time was on the people. And so for me, like, the convention was just all about the love and the hugs and the Trek family and having the amazing discussions at dinner and at the bar, at the fake masquerade bar. That's definitely where I'm going to with these conventions. And so I could tell you a few actors, Sirach Lofton, who now knows my name, they were there, but I wasn't there to see them. But without all the actors, we all wouldn't want to come get together. So it's now this love-like relationship where I love everyone coming together. It's all about the Trek family. And then the convention part, now it's secondary. It's an interesting shift that I've noticed.
I agree.
Jeremiah?
I have to agree with Christos and Amy. Every year since 2016, it's become more about my Trek family and less about the convention, to the point where I spent most of my time and money drinking and being social and hanging out with everybody. It was very crowded, very cramped, almost overwhelming at times in the convention itself. One of the beautiful things about it being at Bally's was how close it was to the rest of the hotel as compared to the mile-long hallway we have at Rio. So it made it really easy to step out and still be part of the convention with your family without having to actually completely leave it for a good, 20-minute hike.
Yeah, that is true. It's like, oh, I got to run out real quick. And it was real quick because it was just, right there. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just needed to run out to get our mask off for a little while, because it was so hot and stuffy in the convention area.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys all wore your cosplay. I mean, I was Deanna Troi in the red jumper, and that lasted half a day. I was like, I gotta get out. Yeah,
we wore them like the champions that we are.
Yeah,
I didn't make it in my Voyager uniform 2 hours at Gay Space. Before I had to run back to my room, take it off, shower, and go back to the party. I was dripping in my boots.
Oh, my Lord. Paul?
You guys hit pretty much everything I was going to talk about. I didn't want to come here and just bag on the negatives because that's going to be all over
we'll
the place.
Oh, we'll get uplifting later. Go ahead and bag right now. We'll uplift later.
Right. Well, obviously, it was a smaller area. It was a different hotel. But Creation, apparently, was really understaffed. So they went all over the place trying to get people where they're supposed to be. The big thing for me was there was no schedule printed out.
Mm.
You had to go through that app. There was an app that you had to download, and the app was terrible. So you had to, every day you would have to uninstall it and reinstall it to get the updates. That was horrible. Crash on you and whatnot.
Yeah, that's something that I'm not happy with too, because I have a program from every STLV I've attended, and now not this one. That's not good.
Yeah, well, we got one. Well, we got one, but there's no schedule.
Exactly. So what's the point of keeping it? Like, you want it there to remember the panels and the actors and stuff.
Right.
Did anybody read their letter that came with their schedule?
It was
this
from
year?
Last year.
And their letter? The same one from last year.
They couldn't even change the date on it.
Wow.
They didn't even change. Well, that was in the
Rio.
Well, that was in the packets that we got, the little envelopes.
They couldn't even change the date. They couldn't change the year of the convention or the name of the hotel.
Wow.
I didn't know. I looked at it, started to look at it. I'm like, there's nothing in here I need, trash. Which is poor trees. But I was assuming that because the con was a little bit of a, show. Sorry, Mark, you have to beep that. I think they couldn't get the schedule finalized in time to have it be part of that book.
Mm-hmm. That is not, that happens every single year.
Last year they did.
Yeah, every single year.
It out.
Yeah. They will do that and they will print it and then they will say, well, check the app for updates because of course things are going to change. But no, they've always had a program.
Right.
Don't ask me any names because I won't tell you. But I can tell you one of their biggest failings is they rely on big names that they know well in advance are canceling and continue to push them as being there. Up till weeks until the convention. So they're not having time to get the schedule ready. I don't give them the benefit of the doubt on that at all because they've known of a lot of their cancellations a lot longer than they've publicly admitted.
Well,
people got thoughts.
Well, okay. Now,
Mark,
my thoughts.
Your thoughts.
last year's my first one, and then we came this year, and... Well, my partner Andy and I kind of did the same thing. Like, I guess act like we've been doing it forever because last year and this year we didn't make a big deal of the con. We just were like, we want to see our friends because we've met most of you via Zoom during the pandemic. So it was like, oh, we're going to meet up with these people for the first time, but we've known them for like a year or more, And so that was last year. And then, we've stayed in touch and stuff. So both years it was about meeting you guys and hanging out with you guys, and then we kind of casually dropped in and out on the con, which we did this year as well. I will say the fake 10 forward, fake masquerade is like, that's what happens when you order a masquerade bar on Wish. And anyway, it also, it smelled like way too much cigarette smoke, so Andy and I could not hang out there because we're just not in there. Smelling like an ashtray. So,
although it is by far not the masquerade bar, and I love the masquerade bar, and it means a lot to me. It's kind of a dump too. You know, let's not try and make it sound like it's the Aria.
Yeah, but I don't remember smelling like an ashtray after leaving Masquerade Bar last year.
No, are you kidding?
You do.
You did.
Yep, yeah. For sure.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't notice as much. There's more smokers this year. Anyway.
Yeah, there were more, with it being on the strip at Bally's, there were more civilians, non-Trekkies there. I didn't care for that either. Like, when we come to the Rio, we overtake we own the Rio. Place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, everybody was sort of separated. Like, Andy and I stayed at the Paris, which was amazing. And Christos, you stayed there as well. It was so much nicer.
Yeah. And it was great. It was a lot nicer. Really? It is really close. Yeah. And then you just kept on walking.
But we had that mile walk.
It wasn't even that far.
I think you walked more at the Rio just to get to the convention center than you did to get to my room at the Paris.
Yeah,
exactly.
But well, I mean, funny enough, like, I liked having it there close to the Paris because Paris had a lot more and better food choice than the Rio.
Everybody was eating at Paris.
I mean, the Rio was just... there's no food choice. Yeah. And even if you didn't want to eat at Paris, you were just right there on the strip. So there's Miracle Mile, there's Planet Hollywood right next door. So food choices was better, I would say.
Right.
Did you all do photo ops, autographs? Do you want to go around and talk about if you...
Not me. I didn't do any.
Either. Well, Christos, try to keep it a little bit abbreviated, because if you talk about all of them, we'll be here till tomorrow.
Well, I will focus on my couple of big highlights I had. So, of course, I got to spend time with Gates McFadden, who is my center of Trek. And she, of course, was just darling as ever and loved my Investigates t-shirt. And then Amy and I got to do a group shot with us two, with Gates and Jonathan Frakes. So that was very special. And we were dressed up as Troy and Crusher for that. So that was really fun. And let's see here. The other one, I'll just keep it brief. The other one that I would almost rival my experience with Gates was my couple of interactions with Michelle Hurd. First, I got a photo with her, and I got a hug and a kiss, and just what you expect Rafi to do to you. And then I got her autograph later that day and got to advocate for some commitments that she had previously made for Gays in Space. So I got to remind her of that. And so the next day, on Sunday, the whole Gays in Space crew got to go over, spend a little time with her, get a lot of autographs signed for charity, and really get more hugs and more kisses. And she couldn't have been more loving. So Gates McFadden and Michelle Hurd, that's all I'll leave it at.
Oh, awesome. Come on. Just give us some more, a few others that you had photo ops.
Well, let's see. Ethan Peck. How could I forget that? Hi, I'm Ethan. Hi, I'm yours. and he gave big hugs too. So Ethan Peck. I did do like the outside the true photo op, but doing the pictures with in the con with Emily Coots from Discovery. And James Callis, from better known as Gaius Baltar from BSG, but also from Picard season 2. I did those two. I did take a real picture with the new Uhura, Celia Rose Gooding. I loved that, although she used the plastic barrier, was not a fan of that. So yeah, those plastic barriers, had I known they were going to be there, I probably would have done less, actually. I really don't like those. Mm-hmm. I think it makes it very impersonal. It's almost like somebody else signing getting an autograph for you that you did not get personally. Just, I don't know. But
there was less than last year. Everybody used them last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but, Amy, what about you?
Well, Christos mentioned it. We got our picture with Gates and Jonathan. That was really just, it turned out so good. And I'm glad that we were in cosplay. It just makes it look even better. Like, yeah.
Yes.
And Christian Alonso, a listener, good in my Trek family, offered, and I joined him for even... So I got my picture with Evan Agoria, who plays, who's that on Picard? What's his name?
Elnor.
Yes, Elnor. And so...
Big fan.
Yeah. Forgot him already. He's off the show and he's out of your head.
And he's still there and, you know, enjoying the fans. And he was very lovely. And those autographs, those photo ops, you're in, you say one sentence, snap a picture, and then you're gone. So you don't really get much interaction, but he was just truly wonderful. And
did get one other photo op.
Yeah.
Ciroc?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I took that photo.
Yes. Yes. And Ciroc, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I bought him a drink.
I know. You got him a drink before I was able to. Yeah.
I was like, he's at the same bar as me. I am buying this handsome man a drink. No shame. Jeremiah?
For photo ops, my best friend, who I go with every year, Matthew Dempsey, we did Rebecca Romaine and Anson together.
Nice.
I made him be on the outside while I got to be in the middle of that sandwich. Mm. And then surprisingly, he suggested that we do a Kate photo op, which shocked me because he's always ragging on Voyager. But it gave me an excuse to see Kate again, which I didn't think I was going to have this year. So that was a big thing for me. As far as autographs go, Robin Curtis and Michelle Hurd were my absolute favorites. Robin Curtis and I had a very dirty conversation about
me autographs. Too.
Oh my word. Yes,
that Robin. It was, she likes to talk dirty.
I mean, Vulcans, who knew, right?
Yeah, well, she's half Romulan, don't forget that.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it was a riot. I don't think I can actually go into detail here, the things we did talk about.
Amy, I told you that, right?
Oh, boy. I'm very curious. Do we need AGT after dark?
Yeah, we'll have to have an AGT X-rated.
And then Michelle Hurd just won me over. I had seen her at Mission Chicago, and I ran out of money and couldn't get her autograph, but she had nobody at her table that day. So I stood and talked to her and promised her I'd come back and see her at Vegas. And I'll be damned if she didn't remember me.
Wow.
I mean, it was awesome. Who I was. And then it was hilarious is when we shared a look of we both know something. And we were down face to face at the table, whispering in each other's ears, shared secrets of Picard season 3 with her line wrapped around the convention center. And looking back on it, I'm like, what did that look like? And I'm like, I kind of wish I could see that from that point of view.
Well, that's awesome.
But those were my highlights.
Yeah, I couldn't get over her line for autographs on Saturday. And then on Sunday afternoon, there were times when nobody was in her line. Like, people need to calm down and spread themselves out a little bit.
Right. I went back and stole 3 or 4 hugs from her Sunday.
Yeah, me too.
Well, this is, I have heard nothing but amazing things about Robin Curtis. The only interaction I had with her, I got in the elevator. Well, the elevator doors opened. And there she was. And she saw the look like in my face, you know, deer in the headlights. And I'm like, and she's like, come on in. It's okay. I'm like, okay. I'm talking to Robin Curtis.
Amy, at some point, remind me to tell you my Robert O'Reilly story.
Okay.
Like that. So, Amy, X-rated aside, there's actually a lot about her personality and your personality that remind me. Like, you're very similar in a lot of ways.
Oh, thank you.
And that's a compliment.
Yes.
Paul, what are your thoughts?
Okay, So Saturday I got an autograph from some Nico Martin Green. That's the one I had to stand in line for 2 hours because Creation told her the wrong time for the
I don't know how many times I walked by you.
And yeah, oh my goodness, I was in the same spot for like an hour and a half.
Hi, Paul.
And when I got up there, she apologized profusely. And we were like, Sonequa, nobody blames you. We're just glad we married it. We're just glad it's awesome to meet you. She's just the nicest person ever. And then I got photo ops from Jess Bush, and got her to sign it. I got a photo op with her and got her to sign it. And then I got the same thing with Issa Briones. Got a photo op and got her to sign it. And I told them both how much I enjoyed their characters and their acting. And I told Issa Briones, I asked her if she was going to be singing at the Rat Pack like she did last year. She said no. But I told her, well, I really enjoy your singing. You know, every time I hear Blue Skies, it always brings a tear to my eye because I'm thinking back at the last episode of the second season of Picard, or the first season of Picard. Then I got a autograph from Kate Mulgrew. And it was cool to meet her. Now that was another line that went all the way down the hallway, but it was worth it to meet Kate Mulgrew. And the last one I got was from Denise Crosby. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of complete my Next Generation bridge crew.
Nice.
But everybody I met was awesome. You know, it's always great to meet the actors. Then I got selfies from Nicole DeBoer, she's one of my favorites. Sirach Lofton, we had a nice long conversation about The Visitor, and I told him how much that episode means to me because I've lost my father, and it, you know, just brings back a bunch of emotions and stuff. And John Billingsley, got a selfie with him. Very nice guy.
I definitely want to meet John Billingsley at some point. He's great. Yeah.
Oh, he's a riot.
I got a few this year. I was very strategic. Last year, I did a lot of selfies with the stars. This year, it was more autograph-centric. I got a selfie with Sirach last year, but no autograph. So this year, I went back for the autograph. And he had, these cool art prints. So I got one of the art prints signed of him, and I really like that. I finally got my Robert Picardo autograph after, 30 years. Anyway, it's been a number of years. We'll put it that way.
And I'm sorry, Robert Picardo, he remembered your story from Maine, right?
Yeah, he did. He actually reminded me. Wow. He reminded me of the year because he said that's the only time he's ever been to a convention in Maine. And so he remembered that convention specifically. He remembered being there, which was really cool.
Wow.
That's special.
Gates McFadden, I got to meet her again. I met her in 2006 or 7 on the coast of Maine, and I just reiterated what had happened, how we met initially. I talked to her about it a little bit, and she signed an autograph for me, and she was just really, really sweet. And what surprised me at this convention was James Callis was there for Battlestar Galactica, which I obviously love Star Trek. I'm on a Star Trek podcast, but Battlestar Galactica to me is one of the best sci-fi series that was ever produced ever. There's just no better. Mm-hmm. It's just so good. And Gaius Baltar was a character that the first time I watched it, I just thought was a trash human. And it wasn't until the end of the series that I really started understanding the character more and liking the character, and by the time it ended, he was one of my favorite characters, and he's been my favorite character on every rewatch, and I've done a lot of rewatches. I find him to be one of the most human, flawed. I understand him. Maybe he makes horrible choices, but they're his to make. He's a human being, and he feels remorse, and he tries his best, but I feel his character a lot. It's very fleshed out. And so I got to meet James Callis and get his autograph, and I actually got really emotional, and that's what surprised me, because I didn't expect to get all emotional, but I just totally lost it. When I thought I'd lose it with Gates McFadden or Ricardo, that I've waited years to talk to them again and get their autograph and what have you. But yeah, it was James Callis. I just got all oh my god, oh, I love you. And so, and I think had he not been high, he probably would have been more emotional too. But he was wonderful. He was lovely. He gave me a good hug, and sent a nice autograph. But yeah, he was definitely high. I'm leaving that in. I do the editing.
I love that Gates was signing her season 3 Picard photo.
Yeah, that's the one I got. Yeah, it's a nice one.
I did not need another autograph for hers, but when I saw that picture there, then I did.
Right?
She's beautiful. She's beautiful.
So
I got my Howard family candle autograph.
Nice. Oh,
very good. Yes, I bought that.
I don't know if you can hear it, won't translate the final product, but for you guys to see it. And then she wrote Ronin on the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
With Gates, as I showed her the deep fake video I did from Sub Rosa, where I am playing both her and Troy in forward. And I thought she was going to lose it. She turned a shade of red brighter than Crusher's hair ever could have hoped to be.
I got to see this video now.
You're going to have to send me that. I have not seen this either, so you got to send it over.
Yeah, I will send it to all
Thank
of you.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, we'll put it in the show notes so you too can enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
But Mark, I liked talking about how emotional you got meeting James Callis. I'm within straight view shot of 5 different Kate autographs in my Trek room. And there's plenty more in my house and my office at work. And it doesn't matter how many times I meet her, get a photo op with her, I'm in the same room with her, I practically lose it. And it doesn't matter who else I've met from entertainment, be it Star Trek or not. But there seems like everybody has that one person where it doesn't matter. We just almost lose our composure meeting them. Yeah. We're so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I was able to be the most composed I've ever been around Gates this time. So my knees weren't knocking this time. So that's good.
I remember Christos, was it 2018? You had gotten your tricorder.
Oh yeah. No, that was 19.
And I remember how excited you were that Gates wanted to see it, wanted to hold it.
Yes. Oh yeah. She did the whole scan, you know, all that. So awesome.
I remember that. Yeah.
Did any of you guys go into any panels this year? Christos?
Very little. I was kind of in and out. You know, of course, I was trying to. The only panels that really interested me is when I thought I might get some breaking news, whether Janeway might say she's coming back in live action. And she, boy, does she keeps, every time she gets to talk, that conversation evolves a little bit more. Like, now she basically said it's completely up to the fans, which, you know, by the way, I already think she's probably filmed scenes as Janeway again in live action. I think she's just creating a big tease. I really think she's going to have a cameo in season 3 of Picard. Who else? I saw a little bit of the Picard panel because, obviously, Gates was on that, and I was obviously hoping to get some news, but not other than that. I did go to the Gaze in Space panel. I went to the Trek movie panel, the ones that were upstairs. But it was pretty light. I think, like you guys were all saying, I was mostly at the bar, aka 10 Forward, or in the vendor room.
Yeah, I did not go to a panel. I went to one, but I really did not care about it. And I sat down and then saw someone. And so ended up talking with Alex Hickman from Australia. So it was really good to see him. But we were sitting, but we were not paying attention at all. It was just a half hour. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is too boring. I got up and left at the end. So no panels for me. Like I said, this was definitely a transition year. It was something unique. I think what ruined me was the cruise, because the panels on the cruise, completely different. Completely. The actors share more. It's more about how are we living a Trek life? What does Trek mean to us? It's not the, well, when I was on set and blah, the same old, same old. So I sort of blame the crews for ruining panels like that. Christos.
And I will,
it's understandable.
I will just say, because I witnessed Amy on the cruise in these panels. Oh. There's probably multiple reasons on top of what you just said. I mean, on top of the fact that we are completely immersed in Trek Utopia while we're out there on the boat, kind of disconnected from the rest of the world. So we're really living that Trek bubble mm-hmm. on the cruise. We're pretty inebriated on the cruise because we have those alcohol packages and we can just keep drinking all day, and that's amazing. But yeah, I remember Nana Visitors and Terry Farrell and even Denise Crosby talking up on stage, and you're just like, you know, the Women in Trek panel that they had done. Yeah. And I just, and Ask Mama Nana. I mean, I want Nana Visitor to be my counselor.
Yeah. For sure.
Yes.
And Terry Farrell and Jane Brooke. Oh, that panel
Jane Brooke, yes.
Yeah.
You know, for a woman who barely was in a handful of episodes of Star Trek, boy, what an impact she made, and what an eloquent speaker she is.
Yeah. But that was on the cruise. Sorry.
Yep. Here we are. Now we're gushing on the cruise.
Let's pivot. Jeremiah, thoughts?
Let's go backwards from least favorite panel to my favorite. Which would have been least favorite would have been the Voyager panel.
Ah.
I walked in on it, super excited to get, you know, see my crew up on stage. You couldn't hear them. Like, the audio was so terrible. I remember talking to, I caught Christian Alonso walking out. I was like, okay, am I going deaf? And he's like, no, that's why I'm leaving. You can't hear anything. Oh. So it was completely unenjoyable.
One more thing, let me jump in on that, Jeremiah. They didn't have the screens. Like, they had big screens, but they were at the very front. So if you're sitting at the back, why in the heck you can't see anything? At least at the Rio, when they did the convention, you had multiple humongous screens. So even if you're sitting at the back, you can see the screen.
Right, you don't miss anything.
Yep.
I went to the Voyager doc panel, being a backer of the... to the Journey documentary. It was awesome to see an extended teaser of that product that I'm eagerly waiting to come out. My favorite, of course, was the Kate Mulgrew panel.
I missed that one.
I mean, it never ceases to amaze me to see the crowd absolutely lose their minds when she comes on stage and when she leaves. If anybody that was at Mission Chicago, she let some pretty subtle hints about the future of Janeway there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty big ones. And I've gotten to really kind of read between the lines with her over the years and watching her body language. And the Voyager reunion panel that the cast did before Star Trek Day, the year that they announced Prodigy and Janeway's return, she made some very similar comments that she made in Chicago. Which only leads me to believe that she's either filmed something for Picard live action, or there's more Janeway to come somewhere. And that it's just a matter of time before it's revealed. And that could all just be my speculation as a huge Janeway lover. Who knows?
It's not the Voyager documentary, right? Wasn't there some rumor that they were supposed to film Av in character?
No, it was the Voyager documentary. The last unlocked goal for the crowdsourcing on that was never before seen Voyager content. Now, could that be, you know, similar to what the DS9 documentary did? And instead of it being more of a comic book style, they actually got into character and filmed? Or was it something that was left on the cutting room floor from a popular episode that we never saw? I mean, again, I would love to be the spider on those walls.
Yeah. CBS would have to give that up, though, so.
Well,
Stay tuned.
Sometimes it doesn't, you know, necessarily mean what CBS has that they can give up. It's who has what that who knows who.
That's true.
Voyager couldn't be restored without my help, because I have a master copy of one of the episodes.
Oh.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Paul, did you do any panels?
Yeah, I did a few panels. I did the Picard panel. I tried to get the panels for all the major shows, although I missed. I think I caught the tail end of that Voyager panel you were talking about. And by the time I got in there, you can kind of hear audio a little bit better. I don't know. They had so many issues. I caught the Walter Koenig and George Takei panel. Although when I was in the Walter Koenig panel, I was in line to get another to get another autograph. So I was kind of distracted for that one. I didn't do a whole lot of some of the panels I wanted to do. I couldn't, because especially up on the Roddenberry stage, mm-hmm. since it was so far away from everything else, and if you're trying to get autographs and photo ops, you just can't make it up there. So that was one of those. So I wanted to go up to the Mission Log recording panel and some other panels up on the Roddenberry stage. So that was kind of disappointing. I missed out on some of that. But you really can't do everything you want to do at this convention. You just kind of pick and choose.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing the friend time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys at the beginning had mentioned about the schedule being an issue, and that's what I found too. Is like I didn't know what was happening. The app wasn't working. I couldn't find paper copies. I had to go each day like to the entry and like, hey, do you guys have a paper schedule? They gave it to me, and like I'd see what was going on, but like I had to do that every single day because they weren't giving them out, which is so weird. And really I only went to one panel. I wanted to, and this is this was a weird one, I wanted to see the Strange New Worlds panel really bad, because I'm loving, if you couldn't tell from listening to me, I'm loving Strange New Worlds. So I really wanted to go to the panel, and then so evidently I don't know what had happened to cause the actors to be delayed, but they were late getting there. There wasn't enough seats for the general admission crowd, so a lot of us had to sit on the floor pretty far
back.
That
was the day they told them the wrong time, I think. That was the day they told them the wrong time to be there for Sonequa's autograph. So that was that problem. So
we only saw enough seats to match the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Or tickets to match the seats.
That was just...
Liars.
So they finally showed up, and then it was the quickest panel I've ever attended. I mean, literally, they came in, they sat down, they were asked each like a couple of questions apiece. Bye, everybody. Thanks for coming. Blah, blah, blah. I thought there was going to be teasers. I thought there was going to be like background stuff. Nah.
So I can give you
the wrong time.
No, I can tell you what was going on with that. I was in line for the Celia Rose Gooding photo and waited an hour. And then they said, well, she can't do this photo because she's due on stage for the entire panel. So they stopped everything, put them on the stage for the panel while they had all these people in line for photos, including the people who were taking the entire cast photo, several variations of two, and a lot of individual ones. And then they brought back everybody. You know, it's kind of funny. There was this big run after they ended that panel early, and everyone jumped back in line for their photo ops, and they took those photos. So... yeah, Creation really, really, really messed up a lot of that timing, and yeah.
Yep. So. That was the same day I was in line for sending for Martin Green.
Mm-hmm.
Bad communication.
We can free for all this question. Anybody wants to jump in? Away mission. Moments outside the convention. Did anybody go and do anything outside the convention that was fun or exciting or interesting that they want to share?
Well, I was fortunate enough on the first day, you know, you have your favorite vendors that you go to, and one of mine is Fan Sets, and Lou was very generous and gave me the last two tickets to the Fan Sets Trek Geeks party. So I did get to go to that some night. Was it Friday night? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think so.
Yeah. So that was off campus or, you know, off site. And that was a really fun party. I got to see Rhea there, you know, and that crowd and stuff like that. So that was really fun. Again, just another environment to see your Trek family.
I don't know if it counts as away mission because it was still within the hotel. but the first night I went up to one of the Gaze in Space penthouse parties, and I'd only got to hang out with Sean Farrick, but Paul Sutherland. Or Sutherland, there's no D in it. And that was a hoot, just to be in the same room with both of them. It's like, oh my God, you both really exist.
Yep. And Tracy Coco came up there one night, and John Billingsley came up there one night. Those were fun parties.
I did see Robert Picardo at the entrance, but I don't think he ever came in.
Yeah. Larry Nemechek came in there. That was fun. Amy, we did a dinner one night over at Nacho Daddy. That was a lot of fun.
That was.
We had a new crew, but we got to continue our Trek Cruise tradition of talking conversation at dinner, with kind of like having a topic and everyone getting a chance to speak, very much like we do on the podcast. So
I was fortunate enough to get invited to this party somewhere, some hotel. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was for John Billingsley, for his Hollywood Food Coalition.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And
charity.
Yeah, his charity. John was there, and Sirach showed up, and Anthony Montgomery was there for a little while. And at that party, I got to actually talk to Sirach a little bit, and we kind of bonded over that. I talked about the visitor. I talked to him about how much the visitor meant to me, and he kind of told me about his relationship with his father, and we kind of bonded over that.
That was really special.
That was really special, but it was a nice time.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I loved going out. I got a chance to go out to eat with Amy and other friends of ours a couple of times, and that was a hoot. Always a good time. And I also went up to the Eiffel Tower with my partner, and I proposed. So there was that away mission.
Congratulations.
And I'm still alive, and it wasn't thrown off the top.
I guess I'm saying congratulations.
Congrats!
Yes. So I've been was holding onto the ring since last, June. I got it for our anniversary, thinking we'd go away on our anniversary, and that didn't happen. And then I was thinking, well, you know, maybe we can go away in July, and that didn't happen. So I was like, you know what, I'll just hang on to it. We'll be in Vegas. And I knew we were going to stay at the Paris, so I was like, you know what? That'd be a perfect time. We went to Paris, France, a few years ago, and did not go up the Eiffel Tower there. But I was like, you know what? It's almost the same. We'll do it in Vegas.
And I've known for so long, and I've done so good to keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. But I was just so happy for the both of you. It was so lovely that you got to... you know, pop the question with all of the Trek family. Yeah. I mean, it was just you two, that but, you know, awesome. In the environment, filled with love, just beautiful.
Well, you never forget this one.
We'll have to have Amy marry us. I think we're still on that track. We got to get you licensed to perform ceremonies, and you have to do it in costume as Troy.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Maybe if you do a Beta Zed wedding, we could just be naked. I'm down. Hey, listen, whatevs. No shame.
Well, Kate was asked in the gym about performing marriage. And come to find out, she's an ordained minister, so I now have to figure out, A, how to get Kate to perform the ceremony, and B, con somebody into marriage.
That'll be the easy part. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Semantics.
Well, final thoughts, everybody?
You know what I'll say about like the fact that it's not a licensed event anymore? It's probably why I don't care that I missed the panels. Mm-hmm. And that really lets me enjoy, like takes the pressure off that I have to be in a panel because major news might break. I kind of know that if major news breaks at STLV now, somebody effed up and should have said something they should not have said. So, and that's very, very rare. So... because of that,
I'm looking at you, Denise Crosby.
Frakes. We're looking at you, Denise Crosby, or you, Kate Mulgrew, with your
innuendo.
Yeah, that's right. He did do that last year, I think. But anyways, so that just really allows me to have a good time at the bar, in the vendor room, or the parties afterwards. And like I said, it's a little bit less about sitting in a panel all day and listening. Because of that, you know, like I said, my earlier comments, Trek family, a 12, the con itself, creation, I'll give you like a 5, you know, maybe. And you're getting that high because you did bring big stars, and that's always appreciated. But the con itself was like, there's a little bit of a cluster. So there you go. A little bit of the good and the bad.
My final thoughts for this convention. I think it's a cumulative effect from, if I look at 1 year from last convention to this convention. So starting the convention last year, going on the cruise, going to Chicago, and then coming back to this convention, adding up all of those pieces, all of the Trek family, seeing everyone, like that's really what it's about. And it's so important to me to continue on with these relationships, but then yet surprisingly meet more awesome people. Like, it blows my mind sometimes how incredibly lucky we are to have amazing people in this fandom that we get to relate and talk to and experience. Like, that truly is what conventions are about now for me. Yes, the actors are there. And again, we need the actors so that everyone can come. And creation brings the most actors. Like, that's why STLV still is the main convention. I would say there were way more actors than were at Chicago. So I love STLV, but again, it's for the people, for the amazing fans that show up each and every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just another year with my amazing Trek family, and I feel honored to have been able to add so many new members to that family this year. Some of the amazing people that I've interacted with on Twitter, as part of that Trek group, that has now manifested themselves into my real life Trek family through STLV. Was introduced to Amy, I think, last year through a mutual friend of ours, Jason. And now this year was introduced to you, and then tonight to Paul. So even after the convention, it's just, you know, more members of this family. We just continue to grow and lift each other up and practice what we preach, essentially. Yes. And it doesn't matter what other conventions come or go, STLV is home. And even when creation crashes and burns, I'll be there every August.
Absolutely. Well, to piggyback on what everybody else said, just being together with everybody is what it's all about for me. I mean, I went to my first STLB last year, and I didn't really know anybody, and I met people there, and we stayed in contact throughout Mission Chicago up to this STLV. So I had that one group of friends I met there, and then I had my mission log family that I've been in touch with all throughout the years through COVID. We did our weekly Zoom meetings, and getting to see them in person is awesome. And then my BQN family, you know, you guys, getting to see you guys in person and hang out with you and break bread with you and talk, and just the fellowship is just, that's just the main thing for me. I mean, everything else, the actors, the panels, everything else is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, I mean, I echo what all of you guys have said. That's what makes STLV STLV is, you know, all of the friends and all the people. And it's, you know, as you get older, it's more and more difficult to make friends, you know, with people. And so to be able to find a community that's so open and progressive and warm and just, you know, funny and fabulous and all of the things that are good in this world, like, are in the Star Trek community. And it's great to be a part of it. And it's just, you feel less alone in the world when you're with the community, even if you show up at one of the cons, like, by yourself, which, you know, plenty of people did this year. But I know a lot of us have reached out to these people that, you know, were by themselves and just, hey, like, join us, or hey, what's your story, or, you know, we'll talk to you. And that's what makes it really special, is we're trying to include everybody. We don't want anybody to feel left out. And that's my thoughts on it. It's a really special experience, and I look forward to going every year. Well, our listeners might be confused because they probably thought we were talking about masks this week. Nope. Surprise.
No, next week.
Con recap. Anyway.
But we will be talking masks.
Next week, T's Metamorphosis Series Part 3, TNG's Masks from Season 7. We talked about that a little bit in the last episode.
We did.
I still haven't watched it yet, though. I'll watch it, I promise.
Oh, you're going to love it this time around.
Yeah.
Well, we would love to hear what you thought of today's extra special episode and hope you'll join our Facebook group, the BQN Collective, to continue our discussion there. You can also tweet your thoughts at AllGoodPod. We would love for you to reach out. We love the interaction. Please follow the network on Twitter and Instagram at BQN Podcasts. So, Amy, where can people find you when you are not being the queen of BQN?
Well, then I'll probably be being Counselor Troy. Well, you can find me here on the network where I'm co-hosting Galaxy Class and Union Federation. I am on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, but favorite place, Facebook, BQN Collective. Find me there. And Christo, so where can people find you when you aren't spilling the tea with Bev? Haha, see what I did there?
Oh my God. I got you there. Well, I'll be spilling the tea with Bev for the first time this weekend with my first guest host, Matthew Dempsey. And I have a little news to make here. It's even going to be news to Mark White, but What's the Tea Bev will not only be an audio podcast, but it will be a video podcast carried on YouTube.
Fantastic.
So that'll be a first for BQN.
Yes!
So,
oh, my goodness, this is awesome.
That was a late-breaking development that Amy helped me with yesterday. And, I think we're good to go on that. So you can also find me personally on Twitter and Instagram at GreekGeekSD and also in the BQN Collective. So, Mark, where can people find you when you're not proposing to people on the top of the Eiffel Tower?
And nearly vomiting. the nerves, the heights, neither one of us like heights. We were both like, ah.
So we got Is off that why on quick. The picture Andy's like hanging onto the railing?
Yes. We were both hanging onto the, literally as we walked around. Anyway, but when I'm not doing that, you can find me on Twitter at MarkWhite207. You can find me in the Facebook group, the BQN Collective. I love talking to our listeners there. And if you become a patron of the network on Patreon, you can listen to my show, It's Green. There are new episodes coming, I promise you. And they're going to be amazing. So check that out and become a supporter of the network. We would love that.
Yes. Jeremiah, when you're not with Kate Mulgrew, as you seem to be every convention, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Captain Jeremiah, only there is an one instead of an H at the end. Or if you are into some strange Voyager stop motion with action figures, you can find me on TikTok at Captain Jeremiah Brown.
And check Paul, where can people find you out there on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at PAWJR77 and also on the BQN Network.
Please hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a star rating and a written review. That helps others to find the show.
At this time, we would like to thank our executive producers who make this all possible. They are Mark White, Amy Nelson, Tony Robinson, and Ken Tripp. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Mahedran Radhakrishnan and Tim Cooper. A special thanks to Tony Robinson for our artwork and to Graham Kelly for our opening and closing music.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Join the Hive to enjoy It's Green, Amy's Math Moments, and other network perks. With a monthly subscription of $5 or more, you can join our meetings on the Hive Mind on the second Saturday of each month. Really, they happen sometimes. visit patreon.com/BQN to get all the details and watch your messages. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us as we search out
all good things.
All good things.
Previously on BQN. All Good Things, a Star Trek Universe podcast.
They're feeling bad and they try to self-medicate to feel better. And that's why mental health, for example, is so important to help people cope with things so they don't turn to drugs to cope on their own. Mm-hmm. There's my Nancy Reagan moment.
There you go. See, we were raised in the DARE program.
Yeah.
Infinite Diversity, a Star Trek Universe podcast.
I love that Pike cooks with cast iron because I truly could not imagine him using any other kind of pants.
I didn't even notice that.
It's just that's that a very in-character thing for him to cook on, like, mm-hmm. this, you know, seasoned cast iron. It's probably like 300 years old, and I'm sure, yeah.
Galaxy Class, a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast.
But the biggest reason, of course, being that, you know, Worf is undiscommunicated. So his, you know, obviously, redemption.
How would we say that?
Commendated?
Or commendated, yeah. If he was discommendated, then...
Re-commendated?
I accommodated.
There we go.
You will find these and more of your favorite podcasts on BQN.